Study the Bible with Dr. Fred Whitman.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God unto thee. Is there anything to hide for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His Word. For everything, oh, everything, yes, everything is possible.
The Happy Heralds believe the pressing need of the hour is personal Bible study. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, wrote, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." To assist you in this important task, to study the Bible, Dr. Whitman opens and explains the sacred pages over the Internet for your convenience and benefit. Why not get your Bible in pencil and paper and be ready to follow in the study? If you click on Study the Bible Notes on our webpage, you will be able to follow Dr. Whitman as he proceeds. You may also download these notes for future reference. After a musical selection, we'll hear from Dr. Whitman. In the meantime, we would appreciate your help. Will you please pick up your telephone and dial the number of a relative or friend and ask them to log on to this program at www.happyheralds.org and click on Study the Bible for inspiring, relevant, and beneficial study in God's precious Word. Now, our hymn selection for today.
Became my friend indeed.
We thank you for your email letters. Friends, if we can be of spiritual help to you, or you would like one of our free CDs, our address is info@happyheralds.org. That's info@happyheralds.org. I trust you have your Bible ready with pencil and paper to take a few notes. Now here's our Bible teacher, your friend and my dad, Dr. Fred Whitman.
Thank you, Andrew, and welcome, friend, to Study the Bible.
It's a real joy to me to be God's chosen vessel to assist you to study the Bible.
If this broadcast is a blessing and a benefit to you, I would appreciate hearing from you.
Please use the email address that Andrew will give you in the closing announcement. We are happy you logged on just now, and we trust you will be richly blessed as you listen, and that you will make it a priority of yours to log on to these broadcasts on a regular basis.
Now for our study of the great Bible word, faith. We want you to turn, if you will please, in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 18, to the verse of Scripture we're going to use first today. We have been discussing faith. We started with the importance of faith, which was Roman numeral 1. Then we went on to Roman numeral 2, the involvement of faith. How is faith to be exercised, or how can faith be exercised? And we noted that it takes the total personality, the self-consciousness, the intellect, the will, the moral nature, and the emotions to exercise biblical faith. We're talking about the kind of faith the Bible requires. And that is entirely different from the kind of faith a man or woman on the street understands by faith. It's not mere mental assent or agreement with an historical fact, but it's greater than that. Faith is the consent, the yielding, or the compliance of the will to the assent, the admission as true, or the agreement of the understanding in time of need, based upon the heart response to the recognition of truth. We talked about Roman numeral 3, the indication of the words used. First, we talked about Old Testament words. A is faith, which occurs only twice in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 32:20 and in Habakkuk 2:4. Then B, the word trust, is the other Old Testament word that is used in reference to faith. And we discussed last time chasa, C-H-A-S-A-H, which means to flee to a place, to take a refuge or shelter or refuge. That was found in Ruth 2:12. Now B, our second word in the Old Testament, is vata, V-A-T-A-C-H, which means to trust or confide, to lean upon or have confidence in another. To trust or confide, to lean upon or have confidence in another. And our verse, 2 Kings 18:5, again in 19, 20, and 22. So 2 Kings 18:5, 19, 20, and 22. And in chapter 18 of 2 Kings, the context is dealing with Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, in his reign. He started when he was 25 years old. And then it says in verse 4 that he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. a piece of brass. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Isn't that interesting? This Hezekiah, king of Judah, trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments. What trust! And as a result, the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. I tell you, when you put that kind of trust in God, you're bound to prosper. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. Now this word vatach, V-A-T-A-C-H, is also used in the 19th verse of the same chapter, 2 Kings 18:19. I want to go back a minute to verse 17. It says that, "And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshaka from Lachish to King Hezekiah," or Hezekiah, "with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, and Rabshakeh said unto them, speaking out to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust, that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt unto all that trust on him. But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he, whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and hath said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem, trusting in the Lord? And yet Rabshakeh, this general of the army of Assyria, is claiming that the confidence in which Hezekiah is trusting is not the confidence that is going to save him or deliver him from Rabshakeh's hands. Because he claims he is trusting in Pharaoh, king of Egypt. But if ye say, he says, we trust the Lord our God, is that not the one whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? Of course Rabshakeh couldn't understand. He was an idol worshiper. He had idols for his gods. He couldn't understand when Hezekiah was taking away altars and high places that he was bringing the people into a proper and right relationship with God without an intermediary or something that will distract from the true relationship with God. This was the confidence in which Hezekiah was leaning. This is the trust and confidence and confiding and leaning upon that Hezekiah had, the Lord our God. And Rabshakeh was raising the question, if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, why isn't it the case, the very one whose high places and altars that Hezekiah the king has taken away? And yet this is the very God that said, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord the king of Assyria, and so forth. And so the word trust, then, is to have confidence in another. Now we come to the third word. This is small c, galal, in Psalm 22:8. G-A-L-A-L. Galal. G-A-L-A-L. A-L, galal, Psalm 22:8, and this word means to roll upon. To roll upon. Galal, Psalm 22:8. Let's see what it says. This 22nd Psalm is a messianic psalm, a prophetic psalm, in which the Lord Jesus Christ is crying out to God on the cross of Calvary. I believe the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary quoted this psalm. I'll tell you why. The very first verse says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Now, back in verse 4 and in verse 5, that particular trust is to lean upon, to have confidence in. But in verse 8, the word he trusted on the Lord, he rolled himself upon the Lord. Rolled over upon the Lord, to roll upon for complete upholding. Then there's one more, and this one is found in Job 34:14. Job 34:14, and the word is siyim, S-I-Y-M, S-I-Y-M, siyim, and it means to stay oneself upon. Job 34:14. Let me read it, please. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. Now go back to verse 12, and let's tie in the context. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Who hath given him a charge over the earth? Or who hath disposed the whole world? If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. If he set his heart upon him, or if he stay himself upon man, my man isn't one to trust. Man isn't one in whom we can stay oneself upon. So we have these four Old Testament words. Now Arabic 2, let's go to the New Testament words. And the first word, A, capital A, is faith. And the New Testament words, of course, are in Greek. And the Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And we would turn, please, to Matthew 8:10. We've already looked at that earlier in our study. But let's look at it again. Now, if you wonder what's happening here, and you're just tuning in, why I'm giving all these words, I'm not trying to confuse you or bowl you over or to impress you with my ability. All I'm trying to do is to get you to understand the various words that are used in the Bible for faith and trust so that we can get a better understanding of biblical faith. I would encourage you, as I said the other day, if you can obtain one, get yourself a concordance which has a Hebrew and Greek dictionary in the back. I would suggest a Strong's concordance. You may have a Young's, and if you do, don't go out and buy a Strong's. Learn to use your Young's. But if you haven't bought a concordance, the most simplified one, the easiest one to learn to use and to utilize is the Strong's. And use that Greek and Hebrew dictionary in the back. It'll help you so much to understand more of the Word of God. Now the word in the New Testament, which would be in the original manuscript in Greek, is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it's also another word with a different suffix. It's P-I-S-T-O-S. These two words mean faith, and are translated faith, excuse me, and they mean literally trust or confidence springing from faith. A trust or confidence springing from faith. And in Matthew 8:10, where we started our study on the New Testament word faith, where it's first found in a positive way, it's found in a negative way in chapter 6:30, but in the positive way, it's found here in Matthew 8:10, where the centurion of the city or town of Capernaum has a servant who is sick of the palsy and is grievously tormented and near to death, and because palsy cripples and the limbs, the extremities, arms and legs swell up, and this centurion comes to the Lord Jesus Christ believing that he has authority in his word, and just speaking the word can heal his servant. And he says, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. You just speak the word here, and I know that my servant will be well. And verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And so you see, here is this centurion exercising great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word faith here is the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. The root means to persuade, to convince. And the centurion of Capernaum was persuaded in his own heart and mind that Jesus had the ability, had the authority, and had the power to heal and to speak, and the servant would be well. And he was convinced in his own heart, and by that persuasion and from that confidence, he exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in Romans 4, 5 and 9, this word pistis or pistos is used for Romans 4, 5 and 9. The fourth chapter of Romans gives the great illustration of Abraham, the illustration of faith. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, there's only one way. You cannot work to get to heaven. You cannot work to get salvation. You cannot work to obtain righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah said. There's no way in which we can do anything to claim or earn the righteousness of God. It has to come by faith. And this trust or confidence must spring from faith. It must be a persuasion and a convincing that God, through Jesus Christ, is able to impart this righteousness, forgive our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and fit us for heaven, and justify us, completely clear us from all guilt, both of sin the root, and sins the fruit. Now we read in the verse 20 that being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, this came from a persuasion, and it's faith exercised by Abraham because of his persuasion and conviction that he knew God was going to fulfill his word. Do you have that kind of faith, that kind of conviction? Look, the next word is pistuo. P-I-S-T-E-U-O.
Pistuo.
And that means a conviction full of trust. A conviction full of trust. And the English word is believe. Capital B, believe, from the word
pistuo.
P-I-S-T-E-U-O. A conviction full of trust. John 1:7. John 1:7. Well, let's go back to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same John came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe, might come to a conviction full of trust. Then look at the 12th verse. But as many as received him, Christ, the Lord Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, that come to a conviction full of trust in the name of Christ, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then in verse 50 of the same chapter, when Nathanael was brought to the Lord Jesus, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, said, Behold an Israelite, verse 47, Behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And then Nathanael asked, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Do you have a full conviction of trust because of that? You shall see greater things than these. My friend, do you have that kind of a conviction, a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, manifest in the flesh, God's only begotten Son, the light of the world, who went to the cross of Calvary to die for you, was buried and rose again and ascended and applied his blood on the mercy seat? If you will receive him, God will give you the power, the right, the authority to become a son of God, even by believing on his name. Don't put it off. Take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Put your faith and trust in him ere we go off the air. Right there, say, Lord Jesus, I haven't had the kind of a faith which springs from a conviction full of trust. I haven't had a faith which has full persuasion and conviction that Jesus Christ is able to save me, and I receive you as my Savior now.
Do it now before it is forever too late.
If you would like to take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right now and would like assistance to do so, please go to our homepage and click on Knowing the Savior broadcast. Then write to our email address and tell us of your momentous decision and your newfound joy.
How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its doctrines shine to guide our souls to heaven.
We have been listening to Study the Bible with Dr. Fred Whitman, brought to you by Happy Heralds Incorporated. We invite you to log on again when Dr. Whitman opens God's Word and leads us again to study the Bible. We trust and pray that you have been richly blessed, and we encourage you to ask others to log on in order that they too may be blessed. We also ask you to uphold us in prayer as we endeavor to spread God's Word. If you care to write Dr. Whitman or request further information and free, true to the Word, evangelistic and discipleship materials, and a CD which includes this broadcast, our email address is info@happyheralds.org. That's info@happyheralds.org. Thank you for being with us today. Be sure to log on again for additional helpful broadcasts. And remember to use that email address. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Andrew David Whitman bidding you goodbye, and may the one true God richly bless you with mercy and grace from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Goodbye, our God is watching over you. Goodbye, His mercy goes before you. Goodbye, and we'll be praying for you. So goodbye, may God bless you.